You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
I am indeed Ross Uglum, the publisher of Bison Report, coming to you here on a Friday from the lovely Bison Report studios in Horace, North Dakota. And joining me yet again in the golden chair is Blake the intern. Blake, how are you, man?
I'm a little stressed out. No, I'm good. It's a crazy week. Crazy week of college athletics and college football. I mean, my God, it was Twitter line just filled with realignment news and Matthew Sluka, whatever that was, and all that business. So, but doing well. Good homecoming win, but yeah, a lot to dive into.
Yeah, I was gonna put Sluka on the script if it was Trevor, because he's such old man get off my lawn energy that I wanted him to just go nuts. But you're of the youth, so we're gonna skip that part for now.
It's cool.
Massive realignment, right? We'll have that talk in a second. It's interesting. NDSU named their team captains for men's basketball this year, Chikari White. Fetty, which is, I mean, he's a sophomore by definition, right? Yeah. Redshirt sophomore, but a sophomore nonetheless, so that's quite the honor. And then Luke Kasuke, which is interesting because, I don't know that anything's set in stone, but generally, and I'm not saying the expectation for me was that he wouldn't play, but generally a team captain will not be sitting on the end of the bench waving a towel. And I don't know that Luke Kasuke came to NDSU with the intention of sitting at the end of the bench and waving a towel, but like, to me, that says rotation. So that's something to watch, right? That's something to pay attention to.
Yeah. I kind of thought the same thing too. Like, how much is he going to play? Is he going to be like JB where he's getting, 10 minutes a game, whatever? And you got Javis, you got Damari, you got, well, even JB, to be honest with you. Jackson Mone is another guy who's probably going to be NDSU's top three leading scorer. Like, so he must be really making an impact in other ways as well. But yeah, he's probably going to play.
Well, right. Is it him and Jakari and Tajavis for two spots, right? Because, Damari is a point guard, right? And you assume that Mone is going to play the five. That's the assumption. Well, okay, is Feddersen going to play the four? Do they play Feddersen and Mone together? Or is it a situation where it's like JB versus Patrick Bath for the more traditional four spot? Well, if there's a big four and a five, meaning if it's Bath, if it's JB, if it's Mone, if it's Fetty, if it's any of those guys, and there's two of them, well, Damari's, you're not going to not have a point guard. So is it Javis versus Jakari versus Kasuke for one spot? And that's assuming none of the other transfers start. It's fascinating.
Yeah, the VMI transfer too, Brennan Watkins. Kid's a bucket. Like, if you watch his highlights, so he's probably going to play in there. I don't know if is he a one, or is he kind of a combo? Is he a two?
Yeah, and I think it would be tough too to just take the keys to the program away from Damari after him having him for 2 years too.
Yeah,
I don't know. We'll see. Like, it's fascinating. I can't wait to get to a practice. I can't.
Yeah, this team's exciting, I think.
Okay, realignment talk. So real quick, if you guys have been not constantly refreshing Twitter, like the rest of us sickos, Boise, Fresno, Colorado State, Utah State, and San Diego are all now going to the Pac-12. That would be, the old school league that you guys remember with Oregon and USC and UCLA and Cal and Stanford and all those West Coast teams. they're pretty still regionally solid. I mean, you know, Boise's out there. Fresno's obviously in California. I suppose as far east as they would go would probably be Colorado State at this point. But they're trying to kind of re-legitimize the Pac-12, Oregon State and Washington State being the holdovers from the old one. It'll be interesting to me specifically for Cal and Stanford if something sad happens to the ACC. Do Cal and Stanford limp back into the new Pac-12, right? But how this affects NDSU, this is Bison Report Radio. So Memphis, USF, UTSA, and Tulane have committed to the AAC. UNLV and Air Force have committed to the Mountain West. I think everyone wants NDSU to be one of the teams that backfills the Mountain West. That is, to me, what the goal kind of is. I know Matt Entz talked about, and I agree with him actually, the American Athletic Conference as being kind of the goal. I just don't see that happening, especially when so many AAC teams said thanks but no thanks to both, the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, and just said, like, we're good. Well, then they're not adding teams. Because they got raided, the AAC got raided a little bit to set up the new Big 12. But I don't know who's coming after AAC teams now, and why would the AAC be looking to expand, especially as far north as North Dakota? I don't see that happening. What I see that's actually on the table, though, is the Mountain West. I think, you never know. Nothing ever seems to get out of that athletic department as far as, you know, what's happening. Everybody thinks Matt Larson does nothing because there's never chatter. There's opinions, right? Like Mike McFeely goes on Twitter and says, gee, I hope they're making calls from North Fargo, but nobody actually knows what calls are being made. I guess that's part of the deal, but like nobody, and you know, the whole loose lips sink ships, whatever you want to, however you want to talk about it, but like we never get. Larson had a good interview, I think, on 1660, but he just said, like, yeah, we're going to be in conversations. We need to be ready to go. We need to, you know, we're going to have talks. But, you know, never has Matt Larson or anyone associated with NDSU stood on the table and go, we are trying to go FBS. Somebody call us. And obviously they're probably making those calls, but publicly, you know, even what Sacramento State did, hey, we're building a 25,000-seat stadium. We are going FBS. And they're just saying it like my joke was always, you can't just walk in like Michael Scott and say, I declare FBS. When he walks in and declares bankruptcy, you can't just declare FBS. But Sacramento State sort of just did.
Yeah, they did. They're a little more conveniently located, obviously, to do that, where NDSU, like if they say, we're going, okay, like, okay, where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Because the Mountain West is having its own, as you went on about, you know, they're looking at Northern Illinois last
Texas
night.
Texas State, yeah.
Texas State. But we're one of those only football only,
yeah.
Football only members. I think Texas State was a full.
Yep, and NIU, Northern Illinois, was being looked at as a football only. If I'm Northern Illinois, I'm like, what good does that do me?
Right. Well, and what good does that do the Mountain West if they're not getting those two more full members, right, that they need?
Right.
And then
right.
Who's the last team going to the Pac-12? Who's even in consideration?
It's a good question.
I don't know.
North Dakota State. Go all the way up to the Pac-12, baby. We're super Pacific. We're right on the coast.
Let's do it.
Like I said, I'd like to go to the AAC. They don't even seem to be losing teams. Is the move to backfill the MAC if the MAC starts losing teams like NIU? I've always said no. I don't want to be playing on a Tuesday night. I don't want any of that stuff. Like I get regionally, like we're reasonably close to some of the MAC. We used to play the MAC all the time until we started beating their ass and beat Ball State and beat Central Michigan and stopped getting invited places. Right. I just don't know if a Tuesday night in Toledo, but this is what I'll say about that. And you have seen, you saw what the platform of the MAC, if Northern Illinois were FCS, Notre Dame's never inviting them even into their building to pull off that upset. Right. It's not happening.
Think.
So and you'll see, like, that year, Western Michigan, you know, the year that got PJ Fleck the big job, they went in and won a New Year's Six bowl game. Like, you can get to the promised land through the MAC. I think it's going to be a lot easier to get to the promised land. Of course, when I talk about the promised land, I mean the 12-team playoff. I think it's a lot easier to get to the 12-team playoff via the Mountain West to be that G5 school out of the Mountain West than it would be out of the MAC. But, you know, schedule a decent game in the non-con and go undefeated through the MAC once every 5 years, maybe you're that, you know, that school. Okay. I've moved my decision on the MAC now. They are definitely not plan A, but the FCS is dying. If Sacramento frickin' State is holding a press conference to say, we don't really want to be here anymore, it's time to go. It's time to go. And if it has to be the MAC, and by the way, the fact that the Mountain West is jumping right over NDSU to go to Northern Illinois. Now, they just beat Notre Dame, this whole thing. Brand is great right now, yada, yada. I get that. But from a footprint standpoint, and maybe just nobody cares about the footprint anymore. I mean, for love of God, Cal Berkeley is in the ACC. So maybe footprint just doesn't matter. I don't know. The FCS is dying, and I would like to be out of it before it's dead.
Yeah, it's so watered down right now. I mean, and if they're going to poach the – maybe not poach, but if they're going to take the Dakota schools and Montana schools or even Idaho, it's even less, right? Like, the teams left in the Valley are probably still going to run that. Maybe a couple in the CAA. Ugh. Like, that's what we're looking at in the Valley, or, excuse me, in the FCS. Like you said, the Mountain West is – what's the word? Shinier, maybe, than the MAC?
Yeah.
But you're in the dance if you're in the MAC.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Right, right. And, again, like I was trying to sort of point out, the MAC schools are the ones that the slightly higher level of G5, like, if you're a MAC school and all of a sudden something bad happens to somebody in the American Athletic Conference, now the AAC is sort of looking at you because you're already a MAC school. Whereas the AAC probably looks at NDSU and goes, we're not adding an FCS school. Same thing with the Mountain West. The Mountain West, maybe then if you're in the MAC and Northern Illinois is in the MAC and your football team's just as good as Northern Illinois, I'm not saying that's necessarily the case this year. I don't know how the Bison would do at Notre Dame Stadium, but you're, I think over the last 20 years, NDSU probably goes 10-10 or 11-9 or 12-10 or 12-8 against Northern Illinois if they played every year. Just my opinion.
Sure. Are you saying, like, for AAC, it could be kind of a bridge? Is that what, if you get into the MAC, it's a
then
bridge?
Then it's a bridge to whatever you need. And same thing with the Mountain West. If NDSU is a MAC school right now, and again, maybe people just don't care, although those institutions probably actually do care about travel budgets, whereas Cal Berkeley and Stanford, they don't care. What's a travel budget? We have unlimited donors, money, planes. We don't care. So what I'm saying is, if NDSU is in the MAC right now, I don't know that the Mountain West would be jumping over their head in Fargo to go to NIU. You know what I'm saying? From a footprint standpoint, Fargo is a better footprint fit for the Mountain West than DeKalb. It just is.
Yeah. Is another point that's been brought up is, you know, how does it impact other sports? Probably not as great as it will help football, but sometimes you just gotta jump in the lake.
A lot of those big schools have left, unfortunately. Excuse me. A lot of those big schools have left. Like, when the Mountain West was a 5-bid league in the NCAA men's basketball tournament, then I wanted to be in the Mountain West. A lot of those schools are gone, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about, like, auto bid, because I've talked to Richmond before about this. There's no situation in which a Summit League team is getting an auto bid. No. Or, excuse me, at large.
Yeah.
Like, North Dakota State would have to beat somebody pretty good in, like, that 2013-2014 team that beat Notre Dame. If they didn't win the Summit League tournament, they still were not going to the tournament as an at-large. No shot. The team that beat Oklahoma, and they beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame in non-con, they had no shot at at-large. none of these South Dakota State teams, even the one that ran the table, had a shot. Oral Roberts that ran the table, they were not getting in as an at-large. The Summit League is just not in a place where they're getting in at-large. The Mountain West was. I don't know if they are now, but they were. And so that's what you're talking about when you're talking about men's basketball. And what I'll say, too, is, guys, these guys aren't getting on buses anymore. They'll get on a bus to go to USD. They'll get on a bus to go to Brookings. They'll get on a bus to maybe go to St. Thomas. They'll get on a bus to go to UND. All the rest of their schedule, whether it's the Summit League or the Valley, is a plane trip. And what the hell is the difference where the airplane goes? It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, they're going to Murray State, Kentucky. They went to Johnson City, Tennessee this year. Carbondale is no
that's
short
not a bus
walk.
Trip. It's not a bus trip. Western Illinois is not a bus trip. Illinois State's not a bus trip.
Youngstown is 1,000 miles.
And even in the Summit League, same thing. I mean, yeah, St. Thomas and the Dakota schools, but Denver's not a bus trip. Oral Roberts isn't a bus trip. Omaha's not a bus trip. They don't do it. I don't think they do it. I wouldn't. Maybe they do it, but Omaha shouldn't be a bus trip.
KC too, right there.
Yeah, UMKC is definitely not a bus trip, I'll tell you that. So what's the difference where the plane goes? That's my whole thing. What's the difference where the plane goes?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be a little short on the Towson recap. You guys are getting this on a Friday. We do a lot of stuff on a Friday, but you're getting this on a Friday afternoon. Marty Brown's show was fun. Gray, I thought, was really good in that game. The defense was better right until it wasn't. And if you listen to Coach's press conference, if you listen to the Tim Polasek show on Bison 1660, I listened to that last night. He was out at the Holiday Inn. Basically said, like, we did improve. We were better, and then we weren't. And that part of that game sucked. Like, we came out with intensity. We were good defensively. And then for 10, 12 minutes, we just stopped playing football, and that's unacceptable. And he wasn't making excuses, but he was saying, like, no, I mean, we improved. We did what we wanted to do better. And then they just, I mean, it was, what was it, 20-3?
24-3.
24, yeah, for just 24-3. I mean, you look at a math perspective, and I don't think all fans I think all fans were kind of like, I don't think fans' brains realize that when you're up 24-3 at home, you're like a 95% chance to win the game. And so they'll freak out about the rushing yards that came after, you know? I mean, really at no point was NDSU, I don't think, in any serious danger of losing that football game. But fans still don't like to see the opponent run a 72-yard touchdown up the middle. It's not fun.
No, that was the big one, too. I think Polasek was kind of like, God, you know, like, we're doing so well the whole first half.
Yeah.
And then they finished well.
Yep.
In the last drive. And, well, the last one was like 10 seconds. But, yeah, you could tell he was frustrated.
Frustrated.
Because it was, what was the word he used? Overshadowed, I think.
Yes. A strong performance.
And you look at the, well, you get a 72-yard rush. Well, that's, now you're at 8 yards of carry allowed. And you watch the game, though. They were pretty good unless they had five guys in the box and they're giving up 20-yard runs or more, which is what you've talked about in your film review and your pieces, which continues to be a structural issue.
And they're aware of it. I mean, I've literally, in the press conference and outside the press conference, I've had the conversation with Coach Polasek. They're aware of it. It's not beyond them. Like, it's not like, oh, wow, this idiot writer at Bison Report has it figured out and our defensive staff doesn't. No, they have it. They understand. So just what I was talking about, when Cam scores and it goes to 24, and I know that the fans didn't feel this way. I get it, right? And I know that, hey, NDSU, by the way, NDSU just won a game where they were down on the win probability 98.1 to 1.9. I get all of that. I do. The things that had to happen, the miracle ball to John Gores, the onside kick off the face mask. Like, I get it that it happened. I get it. But I actually truly believe that if you, like, run that game 20 times, the Bison don't win it again. Not only do they not win another 1 out of 20 times, like, you might have to, like, simulate that. You might have to play that over 50 times before NDSU somehow finds a way to win, especially to win with 50 seconds left. That was the craziest part about that whole thing. We're not going to talk about ETSU game again, but the fact that that wasn't like a crazy, as time expires, Cam scampers into the end zone. I was like, no, we have to kick it off and play defense for like, anyway. So when that 24 to, when NDSU went up 24 to 3, they went to a 95.5% win probability. And I know when it got closer, no one in the stadium probably felt like that. The lowest that the win probability ever got, ever, was after Towson got within 24-31, but NDSU had the ball with 10 minutes left in the game. NDSU was still an 89.3% favorite to win the game. So, and again, I know it doesn't feel like that in the stands. I understand what just happened to NDSU. I understand all of it. I get it. I really, really do. With that said, they did make improvements, and that game was not as, you know, dicey or whatever you want to call it, as people might think. Okay. And ultimately, I'm not worried because there's scheme stuff you can do. And frankly, and he said, I'll make business decisions. Like, there's players.
Yeah.
If they decide that they need to do something different at linebacker, there are guys that are ready. If they decide that they need to give Heisman more snaps or Keenan Wilson more snaps, they're ready. And there are other options. Guys, Talen Edie is special. And I don't know that that's going to happen like right now, but if the safety room continues to not, I mean, if the old guys aren't going to perform, the young guys will play. That has been the policy.
Yeah, they're what, 6 deep in the interior on the front, 9 deep at linebacker.
Yeah.
Ton of trues and redshirt freshmen in the secondary. Devin Kleiman actually said some pretty, you know, I wouldn't say he raved about Edie, but said some good things about him for sure. That, yeah, like
they're this, trying to not get ahead of themselves, but they really like Talen Edie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that too.
Okay. Illinois State preview. Brock's Pack, Mark Farley, never going to leave. They're going to be the coaches at Illinois State and Northern Iowa until I'm dead. That's fine. But yeah, Spack, been there, I think, 17 years. Like Tim said, Paulsek basically said, I don't know Illinois State without Brock Spack the same as I don't know Northern Iowa without Mark Farley. That's just, those are the guys who are the coaches there. And, you know, it's interesting. You always just think about it in perspective, right? There's no way any head coach in Fargo could be in Fargo as long as Brock Spack has been without winning a national title. People would have gotten over it. I mean, like, Northern Illinois or Illinois State fans wax poetic about that Trey Roberson, Marshawn Copprich team that lost to us. I'm sure like that's their best team.
Yeah, it school is.
Right. So like that perspective is always interesting. I think Farley, you know, that perspective is always interesting. Like if the last 5, 6, 7 years at Northern Iowa had happened in Fargo, the coach would get fired.
100%.
There's perspective, right? There's levels to it.
100%. In what, 16 years? Most coaches wouldn't even make half that here.
Right.
Be like, maybe even half of that, like 5 years and poof, you're out.
Because
the two losing seasons and the fan base was up on its, you know, with its pitchforks last year.
The standard is the standard, man. And it's not even a losing season. I think they went 9-4.
They did. Lost 3 regular season games.
Yeah. So anyway, the team runs through Winker's right, 5.8 a carry, 11 yards a game. He's 6'1", 205. I mean, he's a Bison back. Like, he's what it's going to be. I mean, like Tim said, it's going to be a lot like fall camp. They're not necessarily playing themselves. They're not playing a mirror image, but this is going to be much different than, you know, things that we've seen from ETSU, things that we've seen from other teams trying to spread NDSU out. You mentioned, well, injuries, like crazy for these guys.
Yeah, my God, I was just going through looking at the stuff, and Mason King, who I think had a name change, I think it was Mason Blakemore before.
Okay.
Anyway, he got hurt against Iowa, had one carry, busted knee. I don't know if it was ACL or whatever, but he's done for the year. First team All-Valley back. Hunter Zambrano, left tackle, out for the year, hip injury. Amir Abdullah, linebacker.
Yep.
Not that Amir Abdullah.
Nope, different one. Spells it different, too.
I don't remember what the injury is, but his target date was either this week or the first week in October. Don't know about that. Sopkowicz, receiver, had some other injuries. And then there were a couple other guys just banged up. The true freshman receiver, Dylan Lord.
That had been playing.
He's out for the year. So they're nicked up.
And I think that might have to do a little bit with the way that they are attacking teams. Like, you can shoot NDSU, did it against ETSU. But you can't run four wide receiver stuff if you only have two wide receivers that are a threat. Like, if you're pulling kids out of the stands to line up at those other spots, it doesn't work real well. Tommy Rittenhouse, the quarterback, although, has been super efficient. He reminds me of early Cam Miller. Right now, his efficiency, like his pass rating, is like in the 150s. I mean, he's 6 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's high completion percentage. He's at 173 yards a game, which, like I said, is like young Cam. Current Cam is that efficient, except current Cam is throwing for like 230 yards a game. So it reminds me of young Cam, where Rittenhouse is just like, okay, this is what we need you to do, and he's doing it. Not, this is what we need you to do and it's not going that well. This is, okay, this is what we need you to do, and he's being successful in the limited things that he's being asked to accomplish. Watch a little bit of film. They're ultimately going to try and line up in 11 personnel, so that means the first number is the backs, the second number is tight ends, meaning it's going to be 3 wide, a tight end, and a running back. Sometimes it'll be 12, meaning 2 tight ends, no 2-back stuff. They're not doing fullback stuff, at least from what I saw. They'll do 2 tight ends, especially as you get close to the goal line, but very little 10 personnel. I couldn't find any empty. They're not going to spread you out like teams have been doing. And honestly, I think that helps NDSU a little bit, because the more condensed you get NDSU, then they're more comfortable in their shell stuff and their 2-high stuff, where they're not so spread out. Okay, well, we can still play, if you're going to be condensed in your formation, we can still play a 7-man box without rolling one of our safeties down. Now, we've also had conversations where they're not going to be as scared moving forward to roll a safety down, but you can play a 7-man box with 2-high as long as the other team isn't using the entire football field. And that's really not the way the Illinois State plays.
It's more advantageous, I think, for them, right?
It just fits what NDSU does defensively better. For it reminds me of James Robinson. This Illinois State too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
19.
They were even worse. They were in 22. I mean, they had 1 or 2 wide receivers on the field at a time. And they wanted to grind NDSU into dust, and NDSU was happy, I was happy as someone who had some of these same concerns about the Bison defense. I knew that if they were just going to get in a phone booth and try to have a boxing match with the Bison, that it wasn't going to be that successful. And it wasn't. And so the more you get NDSU in this phone box fight, that's honestly why I thought, even though they had given up point after point after point, and you can go back and listen, this isn't just me blowing smoke, and I don't think I picked them to win, but I picked them to cover easily. I had good things to say about NDSU going into that game against Iowa, because I was like, hey man, if Iowa wanted to, they could get Riley McCarron, George Kittle, and they could spread us out and blah, 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 but they won't, because that's not Iowa football. They're going to try and get into a fist fight with the Bison, and I'm not saying the Bison are going to win every fist fight with Iowa, but it's at least better than a Big Ten team trying to spread NDSU out and out-athlete them, because that might have worked.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of – I lost the team I was trying to think of, but like Colorado, you know, that spread you
that
out.
That was a throwing thing, though.
Right, that was the one I went to. I'm like, well, that's not really a rushing
– They weren't trying to spread NDSU out and run the ball.
They were trying to spread them out and throw it over 30 yards downfield, which they did most of the game.
Yeah, which they did. Yep. Ultimately, they're going to try to run the ball, and NDSU is going to try to stop it. Defensively, this is where I think NDSU really has a chance. I would question, is Illinois State's defense actually good? You give up 40 to the aforementioned Iowa. It is hard to give up 40 points to Iowa. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're an FCS team. Like, they don't score. The Hawkeyes don't score. So you give up 40 to Iowa, I'm worried about you. And then they gave up 34 to Western. I'll tell you this, I don't think NDSU's defense is giving up 35, so if they can get to the same 34 that Western Illinois got to, I think that would be pretty good. I think that would be good enough. I think you see a little bit of Braylon Henderson this week. I think the offense is going to be cooking.
Yeah, Iowa usually doesn't score 40 in three games, let alone one. Yeah. Western usually didn't score 34 in about the same amount of time. But yeah, if Braylon heard from someone that Braylon should be hopefully back for at least a limited role, he can help out that in the slot a little
per
bit.
Per sources. There you go.
A little bit in the slot, you know, with Bryce doing his thing outside, Collins, Chris Harris, you know, three guys who all look exactly the same on the field. The offense has shown no signs of regression through four games.
No, they're good.
None at all. Yep. And I don't know if they get to 30. I'm not going to say they are because Illinois State is just that.
We'll just do it then. Give me your score prediction.
27-17.
Okay, yeah, I've got 34-21. So I think Illinois State has shown they can score. NDSU hasn't shown that it's going to keep everybody in single digits or the teens all year this year. I've got 34-21 Bison. Thank you, Blake, for your time today. Thank all you wonderful people for listening. Have a wonderful weekend, and go Bison.